Okay, we'll ask the Lord to help us. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless your name. You do everything well, and you are faithful and true. God, help us all to be faithful and true. Make us like yourself, Lord. Oh, God, and you know what needs to be said and heard this morning. Help us, I pray. Help us. Help me. Help those who are listening to perceive what you are saying right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lord, I just want to do Isaiah 42, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to read it in unison. I noticed that Ron Smitter preached my sermon this morning, so I'll continue. All right. Here we go. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring wisdom. Wisdom. Senior moment. Justice to the nations, as Ron said so many times. Now, pay attention, because I'm going to be giving you another verse that we're going to read and another verse that we're going to read, because it's a continuity of thought. Notice, first of all, the servant of the Lord is Christ, head and body. Christ, head and body. And if we're really a member of the body of Christ, we're part of him. I don't think we really understand that. It's just like your own body is an inseparable part of you, so we are an inseparable part of Christ. And everything that it says about the servant of the Lord applies to you and me. And so he says, God delights in him, God upholds him, God puts his spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. I want you to notice that. I've been reading some things that have to do with world politics, and I tell you, we are shaping up, it looks to me like a revolution, a rebellion, and because the people are so far apart in their values, and instead of understanding the other guy has a point, there's a bitterness and there's a hatred that is growing up in our country. It's very strong, and we're going to have to be close to the Lord to survive, I'll tell you that. But God is going to bring justice. Hallelujah. I was noticing about one person in particular who has really served himself in the name of serving others, and it just grieved me, it got me upset. And the Lord says this to me. He said, don't worry about it. Every person shall stand before Jesus and give an account of himself. There's nobody going to slip through the cracks. So we don't have to fret about the evil. Just let God have his way and do what good we can. But I want you to remember that. Stick in your mind for a reason. Justice to the nations. That is our goal. All right? Then I want to read together Revelation 19, verse 11. And as we were all trooping around this morning, about the sixth time around, it got me. Oh, boy, did I feel the presence of the Lord. All right, let's read this one together. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. Now this is speaking of the next coming of Jesus. So it's people use the term Armageddon. Well, they use it carelessly. This is Armageddon. It's the battle of Christ and his saints against the evil in the world. You see how that's the beginning of bringing justice to the nations? With justice, he judges and makes war. So first, we had the commission from the Father. Now we see how it begins. And we're looking, we say, we hope the Lord comes. Oh, if the Lord would come. And then we got in this unscriptural rapture. And I don't want to go into that now. I've written enough about that. But this is, this Revelation 19:11 is what it will be like when Jesus comes. And we have it on the banner over there, Faithful and True. So it's war. Now remember that, because I'm going somewhere with this. Okay? All right. First, the commission on us all, and then the fact that it must begin with war, because people, you know, politics is useless. It is just people are going to do what they're going to do, and it's getting worse and worse in our nation and in the world. All right, the next verse we're going to read together is Joel 2, verse 2. I don't know how Lloyd does them so quick. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains. A large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. I used to think that was the same as Revelation 19:11, but I believe the Lord has impressed on me it's a different action. It's easy to understand. When the Lord comes in Revelation 19:11, he comes with his angels and saints, two armies, to conquer the armies of Antichrist until their power is completely broken. Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. All right, but then Christ is going to set up his kingdom, right? Yes, Brother Thompson. Hallelujah. Christ is going to set up his kingdom. We just saw that in the unshakable kingdom. Well, you see, if in Armageddon he comes and destroys Satan and drives the demons out, then you see you still got a whole world that is filled with the institutions of Antichrist. Can you see that? After Christ wins the Battle of Armageddon over in Jerusalem, Armageddon comes from the Hebrew term Har-Megiddon, which means the mountain of Megiddo, and that's where the battle will be, just north of Jerusalem. But now we've got a whole world of people who have been influenced by Satan and Antichrist, and they were not in the armies that were destroyed in Har-Megiddon. They were not there. They were somewhere in South America or Canada or Connecticut or wherever. So there has to be another military force to take care of those people. Can you see that? That's Joel 2. And this is what should stand out in your mind. A mighty army comes such as never was of old. Just remember that. So first, remember the justice for the nations, and then Christ coming, and now we see an army, Christ coming with his army throughout the whole earth, not just north of Jerusalem, but throughout the whole earth to judge people, and some will be slain and their bodies will go into the spirit world, others will be saved. Joel 2. Okay, the next one we're going to read together is make sure I've got it right now. Yeah. All right. Yes. Romans 8, 18 through 21. See, this is a progression now. We started with the commission, then we went to the Lord coming with his army to destroy Antichrist, then we come to the cleansing of the earth. See, all of this is so that Christ and his saints can rule from Jerusalem. That's the kingdom of God on the earth, the doing of God's will in the earth. All right, we'll read it together. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. The NIV says children in one place in 19. Well, here it's correct here, sons of God. That's what it is, not children, like in the NIV. All right, now look, the commission, and then you had the Christ and his army coming north of Jerusalem where Antichrist's armies are. Then you have Christ and his saints and angels going to the whole earth, and the result of that is what we just read the creation, that what happens then is that through the sons of God and Christ, the Holy Spirit then will fill the whole earth. That's the setting up of the kingdom, the doing of God's will in the earth. But see, like in our song, our offertory, people are hoping that it will just happen. It won't just happen. We're being prepared for that now because it begins with war. It begins with war, and it's not a churchy war. It's a real war, a genuine war. We're facing conflict, and it will be a great army and a strong. Keep that in mind. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. All right, as I said before, ad nauseum. All right, now, in Isaiah 11:9, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now that's the result of the cleansing of the earth and the sons of God going through all the earth. Christ will appoint them over, the great nations will be broken into smaller nations. You can't rule a nation like the United States. It can't be done to rule it in righteousness because you've got 10 different forces working in it. So there'll be smaller nations, and each one will have a king over it. As Bob Porcelli always said, we'll rule and reign with Christ. Well, we are going to rule and reign with Christ over a portion of the earth. But do you see that first there has to be these battles? Can you see that?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Well, the clincher here is Colossians 3, verse 4. Now, I don't know why this verse isn't preached more often, but this is a key to the whole thing. It's Colossians 3, 4. This is the key to the whole thing. Here we go. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, now Satan has persuaded the church that the purpose of Christ's coming is to take us to heaven, which, if you stop to think, won't accomplish anything at all except remove the light of the world from the earth. When Christ appears by, we will appear. When Christ appears, we will appear. I'm letting that sink in because that's not commonly taught. People want to get out of here. When Christ appears, we will appear with him. All right, now, here's the point of the whole thing that I'm talking about this morning. And it's in Colossians 3, verse 5, the next verse, Lloyd. All right, we'll read it together, and we won't read any more together. This is the last one. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the significance of the word therefore?
In order to appear with Christ.
Exactly. That's why the therefore is there. That's what it's there for, is because what Paul is saying is your appearing with Christ depends on your being rid of sin. It depends on it. It isn't just going to happen. You have to be prepared for it. I'm working on an essay now called Preparing to Appear with Him. And the church is not ready. Now you look at the Christian churches in America, would you say they are a great people and a strong? Would you say that half of a church is a great people and a strong? Would you be able to find two people in the church who are a great people and a strong? We're nowhere near ready for Christ to come. We're not ready for that. Now, Christ has some specific moves after the Pentecostal experience that will prepare us to be a part of the body of the servant of the Lord, to bring justice to the nations, to crush Antichrist and his host, and then to go through the whole earth judging people and removing all the works of darkness, all the institutions of Antichrist. The highways and everything will be vaporized. There'll be no more cars, no more internal combustion engines. All that will be destroyed by the sons of God, because it takes away from what God wants. And that is people and their families who worship and love God. And all these things of our culture detract from that. We think, oh, this is great. Now we'll be able to plug in our television and have it work with our computer at the same time, and we'll be able to see who we're talking to on our cell phone, all these things. All these do is remove from us what is valuable. Now, I said a little bit ago, Sunday or two ago, I can't remember, I'm losing track of time now, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a golden street, or would you rather see Lynn again? April, you wouldn't have any problem with that, would you? No, indeed. We don't realize it, but our culture has robbed us of the things that are valuable. The things that are valuable are our family and our friends. That's what's valuable. The rest of it is environment. And if our environment takes away from our time with our family and our friends, it is destroying what we will treasure when we come to the end of our life. If we are a parent and we have a small child who dies of cancer, what good does it be if our television is hooked up to our computer? We want to see our little girl again. See, we've lost it in America. The electronic games are just one of the most destructive things there could be in terms of a family, because they divide between the parents and the children. Facebook divides people. All these things turn people's attention away from what they really want. Now, Mary is preparing to get married, and I think of her as Cinderella. Every young girl is going to get married. I label Cinderella. Well, she will be having a family, her husband, as I don't know much about him, but I understand he's a very gifted and able person. Now, the most important thing in his life is not his career. It's not his whatever kind of work he does in some form of science or something. Might be on the breakthrough to the problem of gravity. That does not compare in importance with Mary and the children. As soon as they all come to the end of their life, they'll realize what I want to see is my loved ones. Take the rest of the garbage out of here that destroyed my life. Now, what I'm talking about is preparing a great and mighty army. And you better know that this great and mighty army will not be people who are involved in the things of the world. There are people don't forget, when Christ comes, he'll bring the victorious saints of all periods of history. There'll be millions of people, but all of them will be devoted to one thing, and that is Christ and his kingdom. That's all those people, and the rest of, that's gone on and on and on throughout history, all the developments of science and agriculture and art and music and everything will be as nothing. Not yet. Not until God has an earth in which family values are number one. Now, I've read some of Grisham's book, and probably some of you have. He writes about the law. Well, it is, I guess, not unusual, and Ron can testify to this, that a lawyer who wants to make a lot of money goes into a big corporation, and they figure we'll devote the first 20 or 30 years, and we'll build up a few million dollars, and then we'll enjoy life. But while they're building that up, they may be working 70, 80, 90 hours a week. But they figure, I have to do this in order to, you know, get to be a partner and make this bundle. Am I far off, Ron?
Not at all.
But you see the trap here. While his wife is waiting all these years, he misses the things with his kids, their little league games and their little third grade parties and all the rest, the most precious thing in the world is their little kids in a third grade party. It works. It's vastly more important than money or power or fame or prestige. It's the thing that is important. And we have lost our bearings in the world, and particularly in America, because we're so materialistic. We have lost our bearings to where we think the important thing is the glamour and the glitz of our civilization and the new inventions and all the other things that come out. Oh, look what's happening now. Oh, look at this, look at that. But that's not what's important. What's important are the relationships. That can happen in the ministry. A minister can get so involved with his career that his family suffers. And the family ought never to suffer. Never. For the man's career. Never. Because his joy in life, the meaning of his life, is first his family. Now, Belinda, looking at me over her bifocals, the Jews have it right. When you read the Bible, they want you to instruct your children in God's word as soon as they're able to understand it. And this keeps on. Write it on your gates. Write it on your forehead. That's why they have phylacteries, right? Write it on your hands. My law, my law, my law. And we say, well, that's a drag. I could be watching a monster movie. Why do I have to be worrying about some dumb old Bible? But you see, the Bible leads to eternal righteousness, love, joy, and peace. And any person that doesn't desire righteousness, love, joy, and peace is brain dead. Because they think, now if I work on this or do this or buy that, it will bring me love, joy, and peace. But you know, they never do. Things never do. And if you have friction in your family, then what good's all the furniture? Because what every sane person wants is love, joy, and peace. They don't always want righteousness, but apart from righteousness, you cannot have lasting joy, love, joy, and peace, because sin has results in misery. Sin results in misery, not in love, joy, and peace. So while we're breaking our neck trying to keep up with our culture, keep up with the Joneses, they say, we're losing what is truly valuable. And the thing is, when we come to the end of our days, and I'm looking forward, hopefully, Lord, you know, when we come, it's, to me, dying is like summer holidays. You know, thank God. Not that my life has been particularly bad, but it could be so much better. That'd be hard to believe, Mary. That would be very hard to believe at your age. But wait till you're 88. You'll have a different view of things. So what I'm saying to you is that our values are what we treasure are not really what we want. What we want is this unshakable kingdom. And you'll notice in Isaiah, where we were reading, what was it? No, it wasn't Isaiah. It was, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the unshakable kingdom. This is not the new heaven and earth reign. This is the 1,000-year period between the next coming of the Lord and the final day of judgment. There's 1,000 years in there that we call a millennium. This is talking about that. Back up about 3 verses, Lloyd. I love this. I tell you, the wolf, I'm a lover of animals, so this really appeals to me. The wolf will live with the lamb. Can you picture that? All of the fierceness will be taken out of animals. They won't live by eating flesh anymore. And all eat grass, veggies. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf, and the lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Do you know why? They're the child's pets. The child has a pet lion. I'd love to have a pet lion. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Pet leopard? Man, make life interesting. But this is what is important in God's sight. This is what God considers to be important. Do you see how a child would love that? And you see that? A child to have the leopard and the goat and the calf and all them for pets. It reminds me of Jason Coe. He's got a kind of a zoo out there where Hannah's there now. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Now you see, God doesn't say during this 1,000-year period, there'll be improvements in science. There'll be all the other stuff, the arts and the sciences and athletics and God knows what. He has the accent on what's important, which is children and animals. There's nothing more important than children and animals. The rest of it is peripheral. Maybe you don't like animals. That's all right. That's your thing. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. Cobras are pretty frightening animals, but there'll be no need to fear them. Imagine a cobra. You've seen them. They come up. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. So you can see where God's values are. Wouldn't that be a blessing to a mother to know she had no need to worry about her child? The child just cannot be hurt. For the earth, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's symbolic for the water of the Spirit covering the sea of mankind. But how does it begin? With war, with a great people and a strong, which the church is not. So between things are going to get much worse than they are. I'll comfort you with those words. The purpose is to divide between good and evil, so that God's people will become really God's people, and the wicked will become really Satan's people. How many remember the passage in Revelation 21? You may have wondered about it because it's contrary to the rest of the Bible. It says, let the wicked continue to be wicked. Have you read this around Revelation 22:11, something like that? Let the wicked continue to be wicked. Let the righteous continue to be righteous. Let the filthy remain filthy. And let the pure remain pure. See, everything else in the Bible is telling you, if the wicked will change his ways and everything, his sins will not be remembered against him at all. But God is telling us, like he does in Isaiah chapter 40, make straight the way of the Lord. And that's what the coming, and I think we're going to have civil war in America from what I've been reading, because of the hatred that's in the various forces that are entering our country. There's so much hatred. I think we're certainly going to have a civil war, and a lot of blood is going to be shed. But in all of that, what it will serve to do is to make God's people stronger. I read an interesting thing. I was reading about I don't know whether it was Jesse Lee Peterson or what. It was a black author anyway. He was telling how before all the civil rights movement and before the government subsidies and all these other things, when the people were working in the fields as slaves, well, listen, I'm quoting a black author now and a prominent one. He said the black people were much stronger in their families. The father remained the father in the family. And it was just and people were out working hard. They were not complaining about being repressed by the whites at all. They were just, they had a work ethic. And this is by Jesse Lee Peterson, which is no small potatoes. And what that tells us, and I read once of a lady that came out of Russia where they had to worship in the woods out where nobody could see them because they were persecuted. She was a Christian. And she came over into Germany. She was there for a while and she went back to Russia. It's like, I forget the words, but the idea of this is like Sodom here. And she wanted to go back because where her people were in Russia, they were serving God and they were living a holy life. So when the bad trouble comes, and it's going to come, you can count on it, because God is not pleased with the abortion. He's not pleased with the homosexuality. It can work for your good if you will let it. Because you may not have electricity, you may not have the things that distract us now. And if instead you turn to the Lord and ask His help in all these things, you'll be a stronger Christian and a part of the great people and the strong. But we must prepare ourselves now. We can't do it in the lap of luxury. How many know you cannot cut and polish a diamond with Kleenex? You didn't know that? It takes a chisel and a hammer and various kinds of grinding and polishing. And that's how you make a great people and a strong. You don't do it with Kleenex. It has to be abrasive. It has to be chipping. has to be all these things. But that's how the saints are made. Always have been. And so the tougher times get, you're going to find the church, the phonies in the churches, which probably outnumber the true Christians in America, will stay where everything is nice and the pastors will have nice, comforting things to them. And the God's strong people, His army, will probably have to meet in secret places, whatever. So it's coming. And if you're not out living, then your children shall be. And you want to get them as much. You can't always change young people. You can't always do that. But you can do the best you can to prepare them. Now, there's a verse here I want to read to you. It's 2 Corinthians 5:10. And this is very important. And what I'm going to read for you is from the Young's Literal Translation. You could put up the NIV, Bill. NIV, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Okay. Notice it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him. Notice that. What is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That's a poor translation. Because it sounds like at the judgment seat of Christ, if you have done good, you'll get a reward. You know, I don't know what it would be, a blessing of some kind. But if you have done bad, then you're going to, you know, get lashes, few lashes, many lashes, however many you deserve. And that's a very poor translation. So I went to Young's Literal Translation. And this is how it reads. You're going to see the difference right away. For all of us, it behoveth to be manifest. By the way, it doesn't mean appear like you appear in court. It means to be revealed. The word means to be revealed. We must all be revealed before the tribunal of the Christ, that each one, now listen, may receive the things done through the body. Now, do you see the difference? In the NIV, it says that you're going to receive a reward or a punishment. But the true translation is, you will receive what you did. Let's say that it's a big difference. The NIV does tend, I use it all the time, it does tend to be kind of milky in spots. It doesn't follow the Greek as it should. They try to figure out what he's trying to say and then figure it out. But you don't get the things due you. You get the things themselves. Let's say that you're a liar and it's come to your attention on many occasions, maybe in a business contract, maybe you're covering yourself for doing something. And the Holy Spirit points that out to you. You're lying. And then what you have to do to keep up with what God is doing today, now, this is the current move of the Spirit. You have to get apart and confess that to Jesus. You have to tell him clearly, I am lying. You don't beat all around the bush and say, I'm filled with sin, you know, like we like to do. You say, I'm a liar. I'm lying. When you do, the Bible says that God will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1:9. Okay? Now, let's take, if you're a greedy person, we'll say you're a greedy person. You're not really generous at all. You're, you know, a tight fist. All right. The Holy Spirit may reprove you of that and point out to you in the Bible where it says we should be generous. Old Testament and New says that we should be generous. Okay? And you don't confess your sin. It's a sin to be greedy. It's idolatry, the Bible says. And you don't confess that to Jesus. Well, you're going to receive that in your body in the resurrection. In the resurrection, what you are will be revealed to everyone. And so what, and this can be in your spirit, it can be in your body, it can be both. Because you and I know when you look at someone, you can pick up the vibes pretty well before you even see them do anything. But this is why it's so important. Because imagine a person with a shrunken spirit because he spent all his time in the world and not in prayer and in the Lord. He's got a shrunken spirit. His body, his resurrection body, robe, call it what you want, is spotted. And now he's going to appear with Christ. You see the fallacy of that? Now see, Satan with his rapture teaching, the idea is all of a sudden we're all caught up to heaven. Well, there's no basis for that in the Bible. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, we will rise. I want to show you this because don't let the rapture in any way affect your mind. It is not going to happen. It's a wish fulfillment is what it is. All right. Now look at the 16th verse. The trumpet call of God. This is the rapture passage, one that's always used, along with some others, which I have demolished in other writings. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Tony, do you have your Greek dictionary? Why don't you carry that thing? I can use the help. That word rise does not mean rise into the air. Later, it says, we'll be caught up. But this word is the same word as when Christ rose from the dead. When Christ rose from the dead, he didn't rise up in the air. He stayed and Mary began to give him the church treatment, hugging him and hanging on to him until he finally said, well, let me go. But he didn't rise up into the air. He rose from the dead. Do you see the difference? Does anybody out there see the difference? Hello? Well, the Greek term, Tony will tell us next Sunday. What is it? What's the Greek term?
Anastasis.
It's anastasis, which means resurrection. It does not mean to lift off. It's anastasis is the term. All right, now, good thing we have somebody around here that's diligent is all I can say. Now, here's the point. The rapture is preached so that people can say, I won't be here in the difficult times. And boy, they'll say that. If you try to point out, to prepare yourself to stand in the evil day, they'll say, brother, I won't be here. See, but they don't realize that if once you're raised from the dead, now follow this, once you're raised from the dead, you can't be harmed by Antichrist or the Great Tribulation or anything else. So if being raised from the dead comes before the catching up, which it does, then it's not sensible to say that God will rapture you to heaven. Because first, you have to be resurrected. And once you're resurrected, you cannot be harmed. Isn't that cute? That's what you call logic. Now, let's say that you are consumed with physical lust, sexual lust, which is a big problem in our country, to say the least. We see the mighty falling. Generals and teachers and professors and everything else, politicians. Now, if you don't confess that to Jesus specifically and have him forgive you and cleanse you, it will be manifest in the day of resurrection. When you're raised. Everything's when you're raised. Like Paul says, what the Lord will give me in that day. We get our crown, we get our body, everything, when we're in the resurrection. So if you come up, and people will look at you and they say, yeah. You say, that would never be. Daniel 12, verse 2. You're going to look like what you are. And you know, that's kind of neat because a person with a, you know, he may, oh, he's a kind and gentle man and everything. And then at home he beats his wife. You know that happens? You know that happens. But in the resurrection, if you're a wife beater and people look at you, they'll say, oh, he's a wife beater. No more hiding. Isn't that neat? You know, that's perfectly just. Do you realize that? And conversely, let's say you're a person who has steadfastly served Christ and patiently endured the cross. Follow the Lord. When you're raised from the dead, according to Daniel, well, let's see what Daniel says. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, shame and everlasting contempt has to do with how people see you. It isn't a tag on your suit. It's how people look at you. And they see something shameful and something contemptible. They don't see a great people and a strong. They see what you are. You will, and then in the next verse says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. See, that's the other side, if you lived righteously. And those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Stars forever and ever. You know, ever and ever is a long time. And we'll take a billion years from now. These people here will be, as I've said before in this church, great pillars of light, great spiritual patriarchs that will govern millions of people on one of the stars. See, the stars of the new creation don't get their light from nuclear fusion. They're not hot. They're places to live, and that's why God made them. So you can be hustled up from the new earth because it's soon going to be crowded and get up there and get your own star if you are one of these patriarchs. And you'll have millions of people. Why? Because, first of all, you'll enjoy them. They're your inheritance. And secondly, because you will be doing what God wants. You will be teaching them God's will. So to make a long story even longer, what I'm saying is we're going to appear with Christ provided we're going to bring with us what God wants. What happened to the people that don't go with Christ into the air when he comes and then when he descends and cleanses the earth? Some of them will be sent into the spirit world, slain. Some will be numbered like the nations. So this idea of attaining to this first resurrection is well worth your attention. Very important to God and to you, because God needs a royal priesthood who will bring righteousness, love, joy, and peace to the earth. Simple. Isn't it simple? Simple vision. When Christ appears, you'll appear with him. All right, the elders are getting the communion ready. This might be a good time for you to come. If it's been some besetting sin, you don't have to confess the whole nine yards, but if there's been something that God has pointed out, I want you to come to the altar and name that to the Lord and say, by your help, I'll never behave that way again. You've got to be very firm if you're to get deliverance. Because the spirit world is listening. And they want to know, does he mean business? Does she mean business? And I would suggest doing that before you take the communion, because you're taking the body and blood of God's Son, and it should not be taken lightly. And I know you want to be ready when Jesus comes. You want to be ready to appear with him. Well, God has given us special grace in these days. I've lived long enough to see that it's much more powerful than it used to be. His presence. The judge stands at the door. So this is what the Lord showed me in the last 2 days. You're going to appear with him. You've got to be ready to bring justice to the nations. You've got to look like him. And that's what we're called to be, is in the image of God. Internally and externally, we've got to look like him. So when he comes, it's with a company of brothers and sisters who will bring his presence into the earth until the glory of the Lord fills the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that can be your portion. And you make up your mind about that today. You begin to go one way or the other. Either that's not for me. I'd rather rule in hell and serve in heaven. You can have the whole ranch. It's up now for whoever will. And to lose it. Oh dear God, if I was in your place, I wouldn't wait one second, because I know it's true. And I know from what I've been reading lately that we're heading towards civil war. There's no question about it. We're heading towards civil war. There's two opposite points of view in our country. And you want to be ready in case you're killed or your loved ones are killed or something. You say, hallelujah, I'll see them again, no problem. AJ, are you ready to take communion?
I am.
All right. Praise the Lord. If God has spoken to you about something specific in your life this last week, and you know what you're doing is not right, you get yourself up here. You're going to be held accountable for the word that was spoken this morning.